Hello, this is Pastor Fred Brooks from Christ Family Church, located at 18506 Telegraph Road in Brownstown, Michigan. I want to thank you for downloading and listening to this message via podcast today, and I pray it'll be a source of blessing and encouragement to you. Christ Family is a Spirit-filled church full of people who are passionate about the things of God and who believe in the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. If we can ever be of service to you, or you would like more information about Christ Family, simply contact us through our website at christfamily.com. May the Lord bless you, and remember, you are always welcome at Christ Family.
He's back at home, quite sick this morning, so keep him in his prayers. And so there was a discussion, so what are we going to do this morning about a sermon? I said, put me in, coach. I said, and then they said, okay, you're in. I'm like, say what? I mean, I got to go in and do something about this. I got to speak. So here's the great thing from your perspective. I mean, this is going to be the great thing from your perspective. I have a feeling this could go one of two ways. It could be really a great morning, and God will really minister to you, and you'd think, wow, that was really good stuff. Or it could be a crash and burn. Either one will be entertaining, right? One would hope. So in one sense, as far as the actual entertainment value, I think it's a sort of a can't miss. It reminds me of the old story. I'm sure you've heard this old story. It's actually just a joke. This guy, he's a mountain climber, and he slips, and he's falling down the mountain, and he just happens to grab out, and he grabs a branch out of the mountain, and it's like, and he's holding on, and he looks down, it's like 500 feet. If he lets go or if he drops, it's sheer death. And he looks up, and he can't climb up. Can't climb up, and he really can't go, and he's like, what do I do? So he yells up. He says, hello, is there anybody up there? And somebody says, I'm up here. I can help you. Great. By the way, who are you? I'm God, is the voice comes back. Great, God, can you help me? Can you get me out of this situation? Yes, I can. Let go of the branch, and I will catch you. He thinks about it for a moment. Is there anybody else up there? Sometimes you get to a point in your life where you just say, I'm just going to let go, right? And we're going to say, I'm going to let go. I'm going to let God take care of this situation. Because I've done everything else I can. Sometimes we're forced in that situation. Sometimes we choose that situation. But as I was sitting there this morning, I was sort of, is there anybody else up there? Because I made this commitment. And I wanted to. It's not. By the way, I consider it an honor to stand up here. I really do. This congregation is one of the greatest congregations I've ever been a part of. You guys really are. You're gracious. You're loving. You're terrific. So to be able to stand up here, when I said, put me in, coach, metaphorically, he said, I'll stand up and do it. I was like, of course I would want to take advantage of the opportunity. Because this is something I love doing. And one reason I love doing it is because you're so receptive and you're so encouraging and you're such wonderful people. But as I was sitting there thinking, okay, God, it's something I want to do, but I'm not just going to get up there and give sort of a little talk or something like this. I want to be of value to people. So help me understand what you want to say through me. So what we're going to do today is we're actually going to go backwards a little bit. We're going to go back. We're going to look at a scripture that we've already looked at. Pat's already preached on it. But hopefully I can come at it from a little bit different way, maybe have you think about it in a little bit different manner, and for you to maybe think about how you can take that scripture and apply it to your life. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at Esther 4:14. Esther 4:14. You know the scripture. Title of the sermon is What If? What If? That's the title of the sermon. So let me pray real quick before we go on. Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to be here in your church. We thank you for the wonderful worship that we've already had so far in our, and how you're right here in our midst, ministering to us, teaching us, showing us how to be better Christians, how to be more like Christ, how to affect that world around us. Over the next few minutes, Lord, I pray that you would take the words that you've placed on my heart and that you would help people to understand what is required of them and how you want to affect their lives on a daily basis and how they can affect other people's lives as well. In Jesus' name. Okay, of course you're familiar with the scripture, but I'm going to read it, and then we're going to talk about the New York Giants here for a second. It's beginning of the football season. We haven't talked about the New York Giants. They haven't been really all that relevant. They're like the Detroit Lions. They're still in the NFL league, but we wonder why. A bunch of Lions fan out there, huh? You already turned bitter on me. Okay, I'll dial it back a bit. You're like, yeah. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your family, father's family, will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. And Pat talked a lot about this idea of such a time as this. One of the things in my life that I've always been fascinated about, before I tell you what I've been fascinated about, there's two things we're going to do here this morning. Two questions we're going to ask and come up with the answers. Okay, how many?
Two.
Somebody help the brother back there. He's like, two. Two, my Lord. Two questions. First question we're going to ask and answer is, how active is God in our lives? I really want you to think about that. On a daily basis, how active do you believe that God is in your daily life? As you get up in the morning, as you go to work, or if you work from home, at you're at home, if you got kids, running around with them, taking them to school, going to practices, sports, coming to church, getting dinner ready, watching whatever TV shows you watch at night, and going to bed and getting up and, rinse and repeat, do the same thing. How active do you believe God is in your life? That's question one. Question two is, does God need you? I mean, have you ever thought about that? Does God really need me? And we're going to answer both those questions. But like I said, one of the things I'm really fascinated about, and this just fascinates me. See, I'm rolling up my sleeves now. We're going to get to work here. Someone bless the Lord. We got to get our Church of God on here this morning. Remember that one pastor that the Church of God, it was like every 3 minutes, is, someone bless the Lord. I am fascinated by what if. That's the title of the sermon, this idea of what if. So let's go backward. Let me give you a couple of examples. One example is New York Giants. I'll get to New York Giants and David Tyree in a couple of minutes here. If you follow the NFL, that name has meaning to you. If you don't follow the NFL, you're like, who are the New York Giants? And why do I care about David Tyree? Well, the answer is you don't. Only for the purpose of this illustration, you'll care. But there was and I think I mentioned this before, there was a movie that came out a number of years ago, Tom Cruise. I'm not recommending the movie. It just is a fascinating movie called Vanilla Sky. Really, really, truly weird movie. But in this movie, he makes one choice that affects the rest of his life. Right? And I think, what if in that movie, obviously he made a different choice. What would the life have looked like differently? What if David Tyree hadn't made, he makes this miracle catch, it's the Super Bowl. New York Giants versus New England Patriots. New England Patriots were undefeated that season. They had not lost a single regular season and, of course, postseason game. Whether it's something like 18-0 going into the Super Bowl, if I recall correctly. If I'm wrong, correct me, but not now, later. Correct me later. Don't stand up. Well, I think you got that one wrong, Robert. The New York Giants is getting towards the end of the game, and David Tyree, or Eli Manning, scrambles around. He throws the ball up, and David Tyree goes up and catches the ball, and he pins it against his helmet. He's like, and he falls, and it's a catch. And then they go on, and they score a touchdown, and after that, I think, what are the odds of that? This isn't exactly Johnny Unitas and Raymond Berry out there. Yeah. I went old school. See, I went old school for some of you people who know who I'm talking about. The rest of you are going to have to Google it. For those who want more modern, it wasn't Joe Montana and Jerry Rice out there. This is Eli Manning and David Tyree. And he makes this miracle catch. He said, what if he hadn't made that catch? Would they still won the game? Probably not. New England Patriots would have gone undefeated, only the second team to ever go undefeated through a season. And that just fascinates me, this idea of what if? What if things had gone differently? What would it have looked like? Another one, sports is great for this. Sports is probably the ultimate reality show. You want to watch a reality show, watch sports, because you literally don't know what's going to happen next. And it's not scripted. Right? A number of years ago, the Red Wings won the Stanley Cup and playoffs. And I remember one of the games, I think it was like a game six, so there would have been a game seven and all that. But it was in the final seconds, and the other team just missed scoring a goal by literally, I mean, it hit like the post. And I thought, what if that had gone the other way? You would have had a game seven. Would they have won it? I'm fascinated by this kind of stuff, right? And so one of the things to be thinking about is as we go through our daily lives, we have sort of a lot of what-if moments where I made this decision, this happened, right? I ran into that person, and that happened. And we have all these sort of coincidences that happen in our everyday life. What if I didn't go to the singles group at the old Fairlane Assembly of God? I wouldn't have met Jana, right? That's where we met. Try to draw the connection there. So what I want you to be thinking about is this. Oh, let me give you one more example. What if? Coincidences. I'm not talking about the big things. I'm talking about little things. Little things that sort of, like, my goodness, you step back and say the planets metaphorically had to come into alignment for that to happen. And so remember the two questions. We're asking ourselves two questions. First question is, how active is God in your lives? Second question is this. Does God need you? So I was talking to my class this last week, and we were talking about faith, and we were talking about sort of different things, because it's a political philosophy class. I felt comfortable talking about this, and we talked about Greek rationalism and all that kind of stuff. And I said, look, there's a couple different paradigms you can look at. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. This is what I'm saying to our class. I'm going to be honest with you, as opposed to lying, I suppose. Kyle, we really should lie, right? Okay, I've got this approved by Kyle. I probably shouldn't lie. I'll try to work even better on that now that I know I've got your support there, Kyle. I thought I already had it, probably. I was right? Yeah. Kyle's great. He's just going to agree. Whatever you say, Robert, just move on. So I'm talking to the class, and I say, look, let's think about how we can approach life. Because one of the things I want you to do in this class is I want you to lead this class having developed a world and life view, a personal philosophy that's yours, saying this is how I'm going to approach life. As you're leaving today, I want you to be thinking about how active is God in your life? How active do you really believe God is in your life? Because it can change the way we view how things happen. It can change the way we view what happens in our lives. We can see that there are divine appointments every day of our life, that God places opportunities right there in front of you, that the only thing he's asking you to do is take advantage of them. And there's actually a second thing he's asking you to do. He's asking you to acknowledge that he's the one who authored them. The two great sins that the Israelites did, you read Hosea. I love the book of Hosea. And in there, the prophet comes and he says, look, there's two problems you people have. One is you don't acknowledge the gifts that you have are from God. You don't acknowledge the stuff that God has given you. And the second sin is you ascribe it to somebody else, to Baal. You not only don't acknowledge it didn't come from God, you're saying thank you to somebody else. How frustrating is it? to do something for somebody. I know a lot of you do a lot of things for friends and family, and you don't do it for the thank you. That's not the reason you do it, right? You do it out of the goodness of your heart. You do it because it's the right thing. But when they don't say thank you, you're like, okay, I didn't do it for a thank you, but my goodness, would it really kill you to just say thanks? I mean, come on. Just a little thank you. I mean, it's not that difficult. And it makes you think twice about doing it the next time. I mean, even when I'm driving and I let somebody in, I let people in all the time. Not every time, but all the time. There's a distinction there. It might be a fine distinction, but it's my distinction. And so, you know, when somebody lets you in, if you don't know this, let me teach you something here. If you're the driver that just was let in, just, you know, wave, thank you. Hey, that. Just, right? Someone, bless the Lord. Come on now. That might not be a good word, but that's a good practical piece of advice right there. I'm just telling you. You want to sort of get that acknowledgement. But how much worse is it if they go around and say somebody else did it than you? They not only don't thank you, but they thank somebody else and give somebody else the credit for it. It's slow burn time there at that point, right? So, how active do you believe? Turn to your neighbor. We're going to do a little interactive here. We're not going to do a lot. It's going to take about 20, 30 seconds, maybe 10. To turn to your neighbor on a daily basis, how active do you think about this question? How active is God in your lives? Turn to your neighbor. Very active, not active. I never really thought about it. Okay, so you've had time to talk to each other, and really, I just want you to be thinking about it and encouraging your neighbor to think about it. There's no right or wrong answer here. Some of you may have said, you know what, I don't really think God's that active in my life. I mean, it's just a normal, everyday life. It's just, there's nothing remarkable going on in it. You know, life is good, nothing's great, nothing's bad. It just is. Just there. So let me tell you a story. I was in grad school at the time, and I was looking for some part-time teaching. So I'm looking for some part-time teaching, and one of the people on my dissertation committee was a professor at Calvin College. There was a conference at Calvin College, and he said, I tell you what, Robert, come up to the conference, do a presentation, present a paper. He said, I know some people. While you're up there, I'll introduce you, make those connections between you and other people, and then they can get to know you, and then maybe you can get some part-time teaching out of this. I'm like, dude, you're awesome. Not exactly what I said to him. I said, thank you very much, Dr. Smith. That's very pleasant and nice of you. I'm like, dude, you're awesome. See, what I say inside and what actually comes out many times are quite different. Which is probably a good thing sometimes. Engage the social filter, guys. I'm just telling you, every once in a while it might not be a bad idea. Someone, bless the Lord. So I go up to the conference. I get the panel presentation. I look around for Dr. Smith. Nowhere to be seen. The guy, he's invisible. I mean, I'm sure something came up. I'm not sort of dissing him. He's really a tremendous person. He's a wonderful Christian man and loves the Lord, and it just... just didn't work out. I'm like, oh, well, I got up here. I got to do a presentation. I just said a few words, and let's go have some lunch. So we're in the lunch line. It's like a buffet lunch for sandwiches and stuff. And the guy standing right in front of me, I recognized him. He was the chair of the department at University of Michigan, Dearborn, the department that included political science, because I'm in political science. Remember, I'm a doctor, but not the kind that helps anyone. Right, remember that part. I don't. There's nothing good about it. And so I recognize him, and he goes, "Oh, hey, I was in your presentation. I sat in your panel presentation, which had taken place right before lunch." He said, you know, that was really good stuff. That was really interesting. You did a really good job, which is what everybody says in those situations. Nobody says, hey, I was in your panel presentation. Boy, you stunk, you know. I mean, how much did you pay to actually get on this presentation panel? I mean, it was a lot of money, but it was well worth it. No, he said, you did a great job. I said, yes, thank you. And he said, oh, you're at Wayne State. Now, the way he asked the question, I got the impression that he thought I was a full-time instructor or something at Wayne State. I said, yes, I'm at Wayne State, but I'm a graduate student. I'm working on the dissertation. I've got all my coursework done, but you know, I'm just a grad student. He goes, really? And then he asked the question that changed the next two or three years. One question changed the next couple years of our lives. One question gave me an income, steady income coming in for the next 2 years of our lives. One question gave me our family health insurance for the next two or three years of our lives. How'd you like to come teach for us? I'm like, yes, I would. He said, I tell you what, send me your CV and we'll set something up. And I said, sure. And he said, we'll put you on the books. And you walk away from that. You think about the dominoes that had to be lined up and fall for that to happen. And I told my class, there's two ways you can approach that. One way is you can say something like that is bound to happen in a person's life. Not that exact situation, but the so-called law of large numbers. You do something enough times, or you have multiple iterations, multiple repetitions of it. Eventually, the planets are going to come to alignment. There's going to be a solar eclipse that starts in Washington and ends in South Carolina, whatever, and goes all across. So it's eventually going to happen, right? It might be a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but it's going to happen. That's one way of approaching it. That's not the way I choose to approach it. Right? I choose to approach it. It's a divine appointment. Yeah. God put me there, put him there, and saw to our needs. Faith and belief is a choice. You have to choose to believe. You can choose not to believe, and you can say, I did it. And that's fine. It's wrong. Let me be clear about that. Rarely do I say this is wrong. I just told you a minute ago, no right answers, no wrong answers. That's a very academic thing to do. I affirm you. You affirm me. We'll have a big hug at the end and watch a purple dinosaur or something like that. Right? In this lifetime, some things are wrong. In this particular case, I truly believe God ordained that moment, and God took care of me. Amen. But we go through life. Think about how active is God in our lives. We have these little coincidences that come up. Pat shared this quote when he looked at Esther. He borrowed it from me, and I borrowed it from somebody else. So it's coming back to me now. The quote basically is this. Coincidences are everyday miracles where God prefers to remain anonymous. Yeah? Everyday miracle. Every day there are miracles in our lives. These little things that line up, right? That sometimes we don't even see. We're at the right place at the right time. We're in a lunch line, and the chair of a department is standing in front of me, and we just happen to strike up a conversation. Right? How often does that happen in our lives? And we don't even recognize it. But when we do recognize it, when we do see it, what I'm suggesting to you is, first of all, the answer to the question, how active is God in our lives? He is extremely active. He's active even before you wake in the morning. Preparing good deeds for those who love him. Things for you to do and for good things to happen to you. Choose to believe. Choose to have faith in a God who cares about the details. But here's the other thing. A God that cares about the details clearly cares about the big items. Right? Those items that, you know, that health issue that we might have, the financial issue we might have. God cares about that. We sang the song that we serve a God of miracles. We serve a God who performs big miracles and little miracles. If he cares about me having assurance and income from my family, certainly he can care about me and, well, I'm going to be real here, and I've had an ongoing back issue for over a year now. Right? And by the way, medical profession, I've said this before, my sort of respect for the medical profession is going down by the day. Right? It's just like, oh, we don't know. It's like, well, somebody knows something. I would really love if they would tell me, right? I mean, that's what I want. But ultimately, I believe that God cares about my back and he can heal like that if he wishes. Yep. The problem we have is not that we don't believe that. I'd be willing to guess every single one of you believes that God can do a major miracle in your life. Well, let me modify that. That God can do major miracles. Here's the problem we have with belief. I believe, and again, I'm sorry, Kyle, I'm going to turn on you. You know, the problem, Kyle, is you shouldn't make eye contact. That's the issue. Right? Just looking. See, if Kyle comes in and says to me, Robert, I've got this big issue I need to, and he hasn't, so there's, I'm not suggesting anything going on with Kyle. Kyle's a great guy. This is just for illustration purposes. But if Kyle comes to me and says, I've got this issue going on, and I need prayer, and I need a big miracle, I have no problems having the faith to believe that God can do that miracle in Kyle's life. Amen. I have no problems that God can do the miracle in Mark's life, if Mark or Brian or Jonna or Robin or anybody else. Anybody in here, I have the faith that God will do the miracle. Here's where I struggle. Will he do the miracle in my life? That's where we. And I'm telling you, choose. It's a choice. Choose to believe because God is active every day of your life. In those little things and those big things, he's watching over you. And so when you see that happen, our response should be one of love and thankfulness, gratitude towards a God who cares about me. Be quick to say thank you. And here's the other thing. There's going to be people that come alongside and say, well, you know, you could have it wrong. Okay, I could have it wrong. Maybe everything just did happen. Maybe God wasn't involved in that process of me getting this job at U of M Dearborn. That's possible. Where is the downside of saying thank you? Amen. Right? Where's the downside of giving God the credit? There's no downside. Because the upside is, even if he didn't, this builds my faith because I believe he did. Yes. And if I believe he did for that, I can believe he did for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And so then when I go in and see the doctor, I can say, Doctor, you tell me what I need to do. I'll do whatever you need me to do. But I'm going to believe that God is going to heal me because he's done all these other things along the way. Amen. My faith is built up and I'm going to choose to believe.
That's a good word.
You need to choose to believe. You also need to think about, and so that's the idea. If you remain silent, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. God is going to act. Now the question is, well, does God even need me? So ask your neighbor again. Do you believe that God needs us to accomplish his purposes? Whatever his purposes are, turn to the person next to you, say, no right or wrong answer here either. Of course, I'll give you my answer. Do you believe that God needs us to accomplish his purposes? I hear yes. I see nodding no's. What's your answer? Yes. Robin, what's your?
I have both answers.
Yeah, both answers. You should go into academia because we always get both answers. You're with Robin. I told this story before, but it sort of fits and bears repeating, so I'm just out of college. We're living, my brother and I, living in Mount Clemens. Ultimately had to move because we were afraid it was going to erupt. So anyway, don't let you think about that one. Sorry, sorry. So we're in Mount Clemens, and I'm going to this little Baptist church. This pastor was so real. I mean, this man kept it real like nobody's business. Loved the Lord. He was a great preacher and all that. But, you know, some of the stuff he did was, you go, really? In fact, they in their bulletin, they said, you know, sign up for our monthly newsletter. Right? I said to him, so he would meet with me on a regular basis. He mentored me for a while. I said, wow, you guys, because it's a small church, smaller than this. I said, you guys have a monthly newsletter? He said, no, not really. Thank God nobody's actually signed up for it and requested it. I don't know what we would do then. I'm like, okay. I guess we'd come up with one, but yeah, that's just for sales purposes. I'm like, okay, great. And so he tells me, he said, I just had a call the other day from this man I've been witnessing to. This man I've been witnessing to for a number of years. And he called me up and said, you know what, Pastor? I think it was Pastor Tommy. Pastor Tommy said, I'm ready to give my heart to the Lord because I've decided that God can really use me. And I said, wow, so what'd you do? So I hung up on him. I'm like, what? He said, he still doesn't get it. God doesn't need him. He needs God. Until he gets to that point, he's not ready. And someday he will be, but it's not today. And it got me thinking, does God need us? This is what this is what I get out of this verse. Many things I get out of this verse. And that's why I felt comfortable sort of, you know, not necessarily rehashing what Pat did, because Pat did a great job, but sort of building on that and saying, let's look at it from different perspectives here this morning. One of the things I get out of this, and who knows that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this, that you've been handpicked by God. But relief will come from another place if you don't do something. So does God need us, or does God not need us? Robin, what's the answer? You had the answer, right?
Well, I say it's both. He, in my opinion, we're all unique and special and specific for a particular situation, but because God is God, if we don't do what he created us to do, someone else will do it for us.
Okay, so if you didn't hear that, let me repeat it. If I get it wrong, feel free to sort of say, well, it was a little bit more nuanced than that. She said it's really, really both. That all of us are unique. All of us have, and I'm going to sort of embellish it a little bit, but I think sort of fit with the spirit of what he said. All of us have special gifts and special abilities that we've been chosen by God for that particular situation. That God has looked down and said, look, you're the person right now for whatever this thing is. And he's chosen us. And so in order to get that thing accomplished, God needs somebody to get it accomplished. And the reason why he needs somebody is that's the way he's chosen to work. As soon as he made creation, as soon as he made us, God said, I'm going to work this way. I'm going to go this way. Theoretically, philosophically, theologically, you can think of all those ickilies. I think I covered them all, right? You can sit down and you can have these academic, well, you know this, that. I don't care about all that stuff, right? I know this. God has chosen this way to act. And he said, in order to accomplish my purposes, I need individuals. And I've chosen you, or you, or you, for this moment. So the answer is, yes, God does need us. But the answer is also, no, God doesn't need you if you refuse to do it. He'll move on to the next person. So while he's chosen to put himself in this position where he requires us, and here's the beauty of it. This is what this should be mind-blowing to you. It shouldn't be, this isn't like, hey, you know, we're going to have, do something special here. We're going to have a breakfast here. Hey, I've chosen you to come here at 5 o'clock in the morning and get everything ready and make all the pancakes. This is not like that. You're like, what? Is that what? I think the wrong number. I don't know who you're trying to get, but this is not the right number. God bless. Bye. Think about this. Metaphorically, God surveyed all creation. And he said, my purpose is to accomplish this here. Now, here's the thing. Let's not make this into a grand thing. We're not talking about going to Asia and evangelizing all of China. It may be there, but oftentimes it's not. I'll tell you what it oftentimes is. I'm going to give you one question. One question this morning that maybe cannot change people's lives, but can send such a powerful message that you're there for people, you care about people, and you want to be involved. One question. And you're going to ask that question to your neighbor before we leave here this morning. But here's the mind-blowing aspect of it. Again, metaphorically, God's surveyed his whole creation and says, I've chosen you. You've been hand-picked, chosen by God to work with him to accomplish this. I mean, you know, we can flip that around. Think about it all the times. Now, I know some of you were amazing athletes and all that. I know it's going to shock you to realize that I was not an amazing athlete. I know, you look at it and say, with that physique, I mean, how'd you miss? Well, you know, had some bad days. And so in grade school or high school or stuff like that, when they have pickup sports, you know, there's always a story of people that are chosen last and stuff like that. I dreamed of being chosen last. Just pick me up for lunch. That was my goal, just to be chosen, right? Not that I'm bitter. No, I'm not. But think about this idea of being chosen, of being selected. That should be mind-blowing. That God chose me, that he wants to use me to affect the lives of others. So the answer is, yes, he does need you. The answer, of course, is no, it is both. Robin is right. And others out there, I did hear others say both, or it's yes and no. And I know Robin was the only one who had it right, but we're going to give her a big thumbs up, right? That's the answer. Because God's purposes will be accomplished. The question is, do you want to be involved in that process? Do you want to be able to say at the end of the day, here's what God did, and I got to help with it. I got to play a part in it. You have to choose to believe that. You have to choose to have faith. So when we're thinking today, how active is God? Remember, two questions this morning. How active is God in our lives? I'm telling you, he's active every single moment of your lives, whether you recognize it or not, whether you're acknowledging it or not. Well, even if you don't believe he's active, you say, I don't even see him active. Choose to believe he is. And the second thing is this. Does God need me? I'm telling you, God's chosen you. He said, you were my first choice. You're the person for this. You're not the last choice. You're the first choice. And now I get to partner. I get to work with God to accomplish his purposes. So how can I do this on a daily basis? Here's the question. I don't say we do this perfectly, but John and I talk to our kids on a regular basis. We Skype them or talk to them on the phone and, you know, because they're very busy with their lives. Sarah's down in Ohio. Okay. At least it's not Haiti, okay? Someone bless the Lord. And so when we talk to her, almost at the end of every conversation or most conversations, I ask this question. And here's a question that you can ask people in your daily lives. It's a very simple question. It's going to indicate to them, I care about you. It's going to indicate I care enough to do something about it. But it really doesn't require that much effort on your part. Is there anything I can pray for you about today? Or some variation of it. What can I pray for you about today? What's going on that as this week goes by, as God brings it to remembrance, I can pray for you. Again, coincidences. I belong to an online discussion group that deals with people that are finishing their dissertation and all that stuff. So it's kind of a support group. Obviously, I'm done with it, but I stuck around on these years. I started when I was in graduate school. And so now I stick around for those who are coming because I feel it's my way of giving back to that particular online community. You know, whatever sort of insider support I can do, I'm more than happy to do it. Well, if you've ever been on a discussion board or a discussion group, you know, people choose usernames. They usually don't use their real name, use some sort of username in it. And this person, username is Sleek Otter. I'm not sure why they chose Sleek Otter, but they chose Sleek Otter. I don't know anything about this person. I think the person's actually in Great Britain, is where I believe it's female she lives. Never really had any interaction because there's literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people on this discussion board. But as I'm traveling down 75 going to work, you all know there's a South Otter Drive or something like that? Yeah, South Otter. So it's a S period Otter. And for a while there, every time I went by there, I saw S Otter, and for whatever reason, it made me think of this person's Sleek Otter. Not a clue what's going on in this person's life. So one day, I just decided, you know, I should send this person a private message, you know, basically email through the discussion board saying, hey, I don't know what's going on but with you, and I hope everything's going well, hope you're doing well, but I go by this road called S. Otter, and from time to time, it makes me think of you, and so when I do that, I just pray for you. I don't know if you're a person of faith, if that means anything to you, but I thought I'd just reach out to let you know that, you know, every once in a while, it's not every day, but every once in a while, I pray for you and pray that God would be real to you and help you in whatever you're doing. Sent me a message back, said, oh my goodness, I can't believe you're doing that. Lately, I've been feeling so alone, I was wondering if God even knew I existed. Are you kidding me? How can you pray for people around you? Choose to believe that these things that we're going through are divine appointments that God has set up and says, I want to use you today, tomorrow, the next week, and in ways that we're not talking about. It's taking up your whole life. It's that encouraging word, that prayer at the right moment, saying to somebody, I've been thinking about how's life going? Can I pray for you? So before we leave, turn to the person to the side or in front. Turn to somebody. Turn to somebody here, and everybody ask the other person, what can I pray for you about this week? Right now, we're going to practice it. We're not leaving here without application. What can I pray for you about this week? Then I'm going to close in prayer. So take about 30 seconds to do that. Turn around. You're good? I want to make sure everybody makes a connection here. Okay, take about another 10, 20 seconds. And as I'm praying, if you feel led, feel free to pray for that person right now. Okay, I'm going to close in prayer. Again, feel free to keep talking. That's fine. That does not bother me, and I'm sure it honors God, and so that's fine. Jesus, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you for divine appointments that you've placed in our lives. Pray that you would continue to give us eyes to see where you want us to be active in everyday lives, how you want to use us in everyday lives. We pray for eyes and ears to hear how you are acting in our lives, that how you are ministering, are taking care of those small things and those big things. Father, we also pray for our pastor, Pastor Pat, as he's at home. Pray for a quick recovery. Pray that we just heal him and minister to him this morning. And just give him the confidence and assurance that your church is well, that this service is going great, and you are ministering to your people this morning. We ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Continue to share. You guys have a great day.